Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everybody, welcome back to The Shift. I'm very excited about this week's guest. I actually met him at a party a few weeks ago. He's also a comedian, but he lived in Ireland for most of his childhood and then moved to America. And his name is Daddy. So when I'm talking to him on the podcast, I'm not actually just randomly calling him Daddy. That's his actual birth name. And that's what he goes by. So he goes by Daddy, or his Instagram is at Director Daddy. And he has a podcast called Caucasian Tears, which I cannot say that word, Caucasian. Oh, there we go. I said it. But yeah, he was really great. We talked about... He's in a serious relationship, so he talked about being in a long-term relationship. He also talked to me about growing up in Ireland and then moving to America, losing his accent, adapting to that culture, the differences between Ireland and America. And yeah, it was absolutely brilliant. So have a listen. And if you want to sign up to the Patreon, the video is there, and just a slightly longer episode, just a little bit longer. But then there's also solo episodes as well. And yeah, that's the Patreon / The Shift Podcast. And if you rate, review, all of that, that'd be great. And the Patreon is pay what you want, so you put whatever you want. And yeah, so have a listen to Daddy, and I'll talk to you at the end. We'll just start straight away. It's just like a chatty podcast anyway. Usually we talk about dating and relationships and stuff like that, but you're in a relationship, so that's amazing.
Talk about any of that. Yeah, 5 years.
5 years.
I have never done that before. And
but that to be impossible, because what are you like? How old are you?
I'm 26, so of course I've never done that before. I'm like, what else are you gonna be doing in the other early parts of your life? So
that's great though. How did you guys meet?
We both went to NYU, so we met at like at a mutual friend's like birthday party, and it was interesting. It's also hot as hot. Hell.
They say hot as balls. I'm like, as hot as vagina. What are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly. So I'm just like, we met at a mutual friend's birthday party. And I remember she was like in the kitchen, like preparing the cake and stuff, like that surprise moment. And I was like, oh, who's that? And so I went over and I was like, can I touch your hair? Because she had a dope afro, which you should never do to a Black woman. But she was like, okay. And so I was like, that's a nice afro. And then we became friends for like a year and then started dating.
Oh, I love this. Yeah. Friends to dating. That's amazing.
Yeah, she was in like a long distance relationship. And then I had just gotten out of one. So I was like, I understand what you're going through, so I can give advice. And she was like, most guys are just trying to get me to break up with my boyfriend and this and that. And I was like, I was in that situation, so I'm not going to be that kind of person. But yeah.
So you guys are, I want to ask you about Ireland and stuff, but I'll ask you later. But so you guys are in love.
Yeah, that's my home.
It's funny because I was trying to think last night, like, oh, what topics should we cover? Because I'm always trying to think of like dating, relationship topics. Yeah. And then someone was talking to me recently about when to say I love you. And sure, you're fucking 5 years. So
you guys
must love each other.
Yeah. And I don't know. I think it's interesting because like even saying I love you or anything, I feel like we said it kind of early because like it was... Well, I think we've been dating for like a few months, but it was like we were already friends for like, I don't know, like we were really, really, really before we started dating. Like we were just, she had just came from like spending a year in Paris too. So she didn't know anyone in New York. And I was in a weird position where I hated most of my friends and stuff. So I was like, everyone's fake. And so we just really bonded throughout that period. And so by the time we got into a relationship, it wasn't even like a transition or anything. It was just like, we're dating and I love you.
That's so great. And you guys are monogamous.
Yeah, we old school.
No, that's not old school. I had a Alex Pavone on last week and he was just like talking about how he doesn't understand, like, I don't know if we said the right word, but like polygamy. He was like, I could only be with my girlfriend and I don't want her to be with anybody else. So so I have to one stage get on somebody who has the opposite of that feeling. Yeah. But I'm with Alex. I'd be like, oh no, you're gonna see Michelle? No.
I can't do it.
No, I had like I don't even like when my boyfriend's girlfriends are like too cuddly with them or whatever. I had an instant where the girl was like very cuddly, but she didn't mean anything bad, but I was like, we need to COVID.
Can we just
6 feet apart?
Man, no, I get that. I feel like for me, it's a little similar because I've always had like a lot of like I always have a lot of close friends that are girls, like, and I work with even like, because I work in film, and so on all of my sets, I don't think about it, but I just naturally have like more women than men. Like my DP is a woman, my producer, my AD, everyone. And then like the content that I'm shooting involves women. So it's like, I'm constantly around women. And then in my personal life, my friends are, a lot of them are women. And all throughout life, people would always get on me, like girls would always be like, why are you so flirty? Da, da, da. I'm like, I'm just nice. And so when I'm in a relationship, especially with my girlfriend at first, like, cause we would work, like she would be in a lot of my projects. So that was an adjustment for her to like, be around me and then all these women and they're all just like, daddy, ah! And so, it's got to be monogamous.
And I think it's fine having girl, like I have a ton of boyfriends that are just friends and a boyfriend that's not, that puts his penis inside me. But there's like boundaries. So like with my one of my best friends, he's a guy and we go for coffee like 3 times a week, but I would never sit on his lap, or I would never you know. So it's like, once you know the boundaries, then there's no reason. It's like when people are like, oh, they're like my cousin or my sister, but then like, they're sitting on your penis. Okay,
it's like, your sister don't touch your dick.
So it's just about like boundaries. So I think like there's so many times where you have that, where it's like, I remember I had an ex and he would like slap this girl he worked with, Aris, as like a joke. And I was like, and he was like, it's just fun. And I was like,
no.
But then, and then you're like, oh, is it just fun? Am I weird for not letting him slap Aris's? Okay.
Yeah. Like, how did she, the girl was like fine with this? She was just like,
she thought it was fun. But like, again, it's fun because it's flirting. It's not.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, not. Of course it's fun for her.
And I hate when they're like, she's like, I've heard that so many times where they say she's like a sister and you're like, you wouldn't slap your sister's arse, okay?
Exactly.
That's molestation. So if you want to use if you want to think of your friends like a sister or brother, like my brother barely even hugs me. Actually, my friend who would go for coffee would give me a hug. My brother would be like, oh.
So I guess I gotta do this. Well, that's the thing. I feel like, I remember, I don't know if it's Chris Rock who has this joke where he's like, you know, every girl, like for women don't really care about like attention, or, you know, I mean, not that they don't care, but like it's normal for girls to experience getting attention from men, because ever since you were 13, every guy around you has wanted to, you know, touch you. But then with dudes, it's like, when we get one bit of attention from a woman, we're like, someone cares. So I think even like, you know, like in these situations where you're like, you know, they're saying it's just fun, or it's just my brother or my sister. I think like consciously, like that's what it is. And subconsciously, guys are just like excited, like, ooh, a woman's paying attention. Because usually you know, in a lot of situations, guys feel like, oh, women don't show signs or anything. Like, we got to make the move. But yeah.
And I think
it's just
like,
men being dumb.
Yeah, and I think it's fine to like flirt because it's like, whatever, you know, it's nice to feel nice. It's just like knowing boundaries and like knowing the line, like not stepping, like flirt, but no tongue in mouth. Or flirt, but don't touch him. Don't be like touching the arm. Like if I'm out and talking to a guy after a show, let's say, and he's just like, oh, that was so good and stuff. And I'm like, I'm just like, yeah, thanks. And be chatting and it'd be just, and then if I like, put my hand on his arm, now I'm like initiating also that's just misleading to them because I'm wasting their time after about an hour. They've invested all this and then I'm like, oh no, I'm taken. They're like,
this isn't going anywhere.
That's why you always gotta drop. You're like, they're like, oh, I, because I actually did a show and recently and I was, you know, you notice the one person, you always notice the one person who's just, you're not their comedy. They're not enjoying you. And that's fine. And there was like, and I was having a great time, was having a lot of, but I noticed this guy and he was very stern face. And then afterwards, he came up to me and he was like, oh my God, that was so funny. And I was like, oh, he just obviously doesn't laugh. But then that night he slipped into my DMs and was like, if you ever want material, I'd love to take you out on a date. And so now I was like, oh no, he didn't think I was funny because he definitely didn't listen, because if he listened, he would have heard me say, oh, but I have a boyfriend now and the joke about him. I have a nice boyfriend who is too nice to me to get material out of. So, but thank you. And then he was like, I'm sorry. I hope I didn't offend. And I was like, no, not at all. But I was more offended that he never followed me. So he didn't.
He's like
my comedy.
He was like, fuck the jokes. I don't give a damn about it. The imaginary boyfriend is a joke, but it's real and this and that. That's weird. Okay. What did he think he was going to get out of this? Artie, you're not laughing at the set. Like, that's even, if you wouldn't even just maybe flirt, like even laughing at my jokes is flirting. Like,
I'd be more likely to say yes to all of the women who came up to me afterwards and asked for my Instagram and followed me. And I'm straight. If they asked me, I'm like, you know what? Sure, why not? You laughed at me.
Man, that's weird. Maybe that was his like flirt face, like just very serious. Like,
if he listened to the jokes, he would have heard me say, but I have a boyfriend now. And I had like, it was a whole link. It's fine.
True. But,
and then he was like, oh, sorry if I offended. And I was like, no, not at all. I take it as a compliment. Thank you so much. Like, chill.
It's like, what do I say in this situation? Sorry, I offended. What offended me that about my, what? Huh? What?
And then I'm like, but press the plus sign.
That's the offensive part. He knew what he was doing. He knew what he was doing. And that's why he didn't get a date.
Yeah.
Or a follow back or
anything. Well, he didn't get a date because I have a boyfriend right now.
No. Even
it's nothing to do with him, it's to do with the follow. He'd be even like, Katie, you gotta do it for the follows. You gotta do it for the follows.
I'm like, has he ever asked a comic out before or something? Because it's like,
a woman just listen.
That too. But I'm just like, with a comic, you just didn't follow. Like, there's no check marks made at all. You did not care about my comedy. You didn't listen to what I said on stage. And not even for him as a partner, that says a lot. Like, you don't listen. You just talk.
And if he said like, I want to be material for your dating, so if he did listen to me joking about the bad date, and it's like, okay, I don't want that. Do you think I want my material to be about a guy who doesn't believe in space? Like, that's what I'm talking about.
Material's not going to come from a good relationship. Yeah. So you try to just be a bad relationship, like, that's gonna be like, I love my boyfriend.
He's so good to me. Anyway. Dayton's hard.
I don't know what this man was trying to get out of this whole interaction at all.
Nothing makes sense. That's so funny. If guys, if you're slipping into girls, any girls' DMs, just make sure you follow them first.
Yeah.
That's not. That's,
Or else it's weird. It's like, I think that even shows like a lack of commitment. like just the DM, no follow. It's like, all right, depending on how you react, that's going to show how much I'm interested in. Yeah. Show some commitment.
Even follow and then see if they follow back. And then, yeah, I always think even slipping into the DMs, like a big indicator, because we do see most people who follow us. Mm-hmm. So a big indicator is if they follow back. And if they don't, they're probably not interested. Like they see.
Yeah, they care.
The guys will come and ask you out via DM. They might follow you, but then they have a private profile or they have no profile pic either. And you're like, how desperate do you think that I am? That I'm like, I'm going to go out with this cartoon character.
Right. I think I don't get people to do that. That's just too much work to have your Finsta dating profile and your real dating and your real profile and this. I'm like, just be a person. I don't get any. Also, I just don't get people who don't have themselves as a profile or people who have like no photos of themselves. Like it's like photos, like whether it's like photographers who only shoot other people and stuff. I'm like, what do you look like? I don't remember you. Like I meet people.
Yeah. Exactly. I had one guy and he messaged me and he was like, this is the other day actually, I can't remember the exact message, but it was something like, can I go out with you or whatever? And I was like, no, I'm not interested. I didn't even want to say I don't have a boyfriend, because yeah. I usually would ignore it, but I think he had sent a couple of messages and I clicked in. It was in my general messages, but I clicked in and saw, and I just said, ah, no, I'm not interested, thank you. And he goes, he was like, please, I'll fly in for Seattle for one night. And I'm like,
what?
No.
That doesn't make it. Like, again, I don't know what you thought that was going to get you. That's okay. And that's the crazy thing. Like, and I mean, I'm a dude, so I don't know if it sounds pretentious come from me. But like the fact that women have to, like how you were saying, like in this situation, you didn't say, I have a boyfriend. And in a lot of situations, that's the only thing that's going to make a dude shut up. Like, yes, I'm someone. I belong to another man. I'm someone else's property. Like, nigga, just leave. She's not interested. It's like, you can say no, it doesn't matter. But what's, oh, there's another dick in the picture. Cool. All right.
It's crazy. I actually said that to my boyfriend because I was showing him the messages and I showed him where I said, I'm not interested. And I was like, we're only together, which is very new. But I said to him, I'm not saying to guys, no, I have a boyfriend, because even if you didn't exist, like if this was 2 months ago before we were dating, I would have said no anyway.
Yeah.
So I don't want them to be like, oh, well, I'll just wait around until, you know, it's like, I'm not interested.
Because dudes will do that. I mean, look, I'm in a 5-year relationship now from waiting, so.
Nah, so it works.
I didn't do that. But
do you get, like, I know you're in a relationship and stuff, but do you get women in your DMs? Because you have a good bit of a following, and I'm just wondering, do women do the same as what men do?
Okay, this is I'm starting to see because I'm just starting to get like a following in the last like few months, and so. Like at first I would get like comments like on whether it's on TikTok or like, you know, on my Instagram posts, and like occasionally people would be like, oh my God, he's cute, this and that, handsome. But like over time it gets a little more aggressive, but still it's like it's nowhere near like my girlfriend's inbox. Like her, like she gets crazy, like dudes are like trying to be her sugar daddy, dudes try to like take her on dates. Like it's everything, dick pics left and right. Like the worst that I've gotten, like, I mean, people, like I had, because I feel like my comedy is very much, you know, it deals with race and stuff. So there's times where like, I get like white people that are like, I really just want, I love you. And I just want to go out and read like educational books on race and stuff. And I've had like a black girl who was like, I wish we could just have like, I wish we could have the most pro-black, like revolutionary black babies together and stuff. And I'm just like, this is a very weird niche of like thirst here.
It's like, I need to have your babies.
Yeah, it's like, but it's all for a cause. It's for the good of the human race. And like, it's not just like, let's fuck. It's weird. But it's still, it's like, every now and then, versus like my girlfriend's DMs is like regularly just dudes piling in. So Yeah, it's not as bad. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry for my gender.
Yeah. I feel like women will dudes is just, I don't, guys are just crazy. I don't, because that's the thing. I feel like, you know, you have so many guys that are always like, I'm a good guy. Like, cause you know, girl, like a lot of times I got so many friends that are always like, fuck man, this and that. And there's dudes that are like, that get upset, you know, obviously they're like, well, I'm a good guy. Why all men aren't trash, blah, blah, blah. And you know, it's like, I look at it kind of like with racism, when a lot of people aren't exposed to racism, they think that everything's fine. Like, you know, it's all good. We're all on the same page. Nobody around me is racist. And that's how I would feel about dudes when I was in college. Like, I was like, I don't, like, I'm aware that it's shitty out here. I don't think I know any guys that are like this, like, you know. And then it's not until you really hang out, like, the more you just hang out around girls with you, and you just shut up, you know. Like, I took a whole bunch of feminist classes in college. And so I was, like, the one straight dude, just the one dude in every room. And I just had to be quiet and listen. And I was like, oh, this is what's going on. And it's like, you hear people talk about people that you know and the shit that they do. And so I'm just like, dudes are dirty. Like, it's wild what people think is acceptable, or like, you know, the boundaries that are not, just human decency for some people. So,
yeah. And I think even when like women are saying that, we do know that there is great men, but it's just like, there's also... not blah.
Yeah.
And it's like so many layers. So there's like, you know, like walking home alone at night or whatever is like, but also like in your job, and you're always, if you have a higher up who's a man, there's always that element of, am I getting this out? Like, you know, I got offered an opportunity and I was like in the back of my head, like, shit, what if this is,
yeah,
if something is expected afterwards, which of course I would never do, but I'm also like, then the other side of me was like, God, what if they hear of a boyfriend? They might take that city away. And I'm like, you go over there. I won't do anything, but you fucking.
Yeah.
And it's awful that it has to be like that, that you're like, because of course you just want someone to see your talent. And I think that probably happens in lots of jobs, where I remember I was working at a place back home and the person higher up was a man, but he would touch a lot of the younger girls. And then one time he touched an older woman inappropriately and she took him on. Now she ended up leaving. She didn't win it, but it was just that power and grossness. And then the other guys being like, no, I can't, I wouldn't do that. So I don't
know. Yeah.
He would do that. And you're like, no, just cause you wouldn't do it. Like it's.
And also, I mean, it's like, you know, you might not do it, but it's like, what are you doing to prevent it in your environment, or like addressing it? Because, you know, even like as guys, like there's, I mean, we saw, it's weird even saying back when Trump was running and stuff, but like his whole locker room talk, it's, you know, that say, this is just locker room talk. These are just things that we say around each other. But it's like, there's situations where you got to check the guys around you. You know, you got to make sure, like, you can't do that. You can't say this. You can't, like, that's just the bare minimum. Just say something, you know, because there's a lot of situations where people are just going to be quiet and laugh along. So, and that's in a sense, like you're enabling it. You're enabling a behavior. So.
Yeah, I agree with you. And it is tough to do that in any situation. I remember there was this guy and he was like gossiping about a friend and I said, oh, look, I don't think that's like appropriate or whatever. And then he was like, and then everybody was like, and I was like, oh no, I'm getting ousted now. shit, sorry, I wrote the phone. But it was like a good friend of mine. And like it was inappropriate. Like, let's talk about, we don't need to talk about like something tough she was going through right now. I was like, oh,
it's awkward. People got to have these awkward conversations, you know. It's necessary, because that's why like even like with cancel culture, everyone feels differently about cancel culture. I don't know where I specifically stand, but I do say, like, you know, there's situations where people are like, well, aren't we getting a little too extreme? Like, this person's getting canceled, and it's not as bad as what that person did, and this and that. And I'm like, when certain behaviors or actions have gone on for so long, there was no consequences at all. You kind of need this exaggerated approach where it's like, you just have to cancel out anything that enables that. And then from there, we can start healing and really getting back into like, okay, figuring out what the right or wrong thing is to do on which situations. But at first it's like, you just gotta let people know, like, no, we don't stand for any of this. So it's gotta be awkward for, you know.
I agree with you actually. And that's a really, really good point to make because I think about, you know, sometimes you need to make examples. And it is, it's like, it's like when you're asking someone, please don't do this, please don't do this, please don't do this. And then they keep doing it. And then eventually you throw a plate at the wall because you're like, get out.
Yeah.
And I also think as well, like, even so, if you were to say to me, like, let's say I said something idiot or uneducated and you were like, that's not, and then like, so for the person who's getting like told you shouldn't say that, you shouldn't do that, like, just be like, oh fuck yeah, I didn't realize, I'm so sorry. Like, it's like, it's totally okay to be like, fuck, thank you for telling me, and like, I said something bad, like, my friend, he's a guy, and I gave him like unsolicited relationship advice, which I shouldn't have, and he was upset about it, and then I was like, Jesus, you're right, I'm so sorry. What do I know, I haven't been, and you know, and then like I texted him afterwards and he was like, oh no, he was like, he was like, oh yeah, I probably took it too hard, and I was like, well no, I shouldn't have. And it's like, it's okay to be like, fuck, I was wrong, and like, we're not all gonna be right, and it's not like someone's gonna, you know. So when it comes to like, if you're a guy and your guy friend is like, I just want to slap her ass and pay her minimum wage, you can be like, dude, that's not cool. And then the guy who said it can go, I was just trying to be funny, I'm not funny, I'm an idiot. And then the world,
there are those situations, like, I know dudes who like overcompensate just because, like, you know, because they do feel insecure about themselves, and whether they're, you know, making these kinds of jokes about women or even like kind of like making fun of me or like other guys in the group. And then, you know, when you just point out, like, you know, okay, like, you're not cool or whatever, then they feel dumb. And it's almost like, because you point out like something that they stand by is ridiculous, now they're like, oh, well, I don't want to be connected to this. And you're right. And so I'm going to shut up. And it's not funny no more, you know? And there's a moment of growth. Or as you were saying before, like, you know, sometimes people just get defensive in the moment instead of just saying, yeah, I'm wrong.
But it's so awkward because then they double down. They're like, no, women shouldn't have rights, or I don't know, whatever example that they're talking about. And you're like, I know you don't believe that, but are you just doubling down?
That's I mean, and that's something like, I don't know, for me with my relationship, like, especially because, for, you know, my girlfriend works at a magazine, I used to work at a magazine, and so we kind of, you know, similar environments, and there were experiences that she had that I didn't experience, and where she would point out, oh, like, you know, you're a dude, like, this didn't happen to you, or, you know, or even like her being a Black woman in certain spaces. And so there's points where I'd be, you know, where she'd say like, oh, this is happening because I'm Black, or this because I'm a Black woman, or because I'm a woman. And there's times where like, I, you know, I'd slip up and be like, nah, it's not, you know, kind of disregarding the argument, or just because I, you know, that's not my experience. So I'm looking at it through my lens and my view. So I don't fully understand, and I can't see why she would see it that way. And I'm so sure of my experience because that's what worked for me. And so you have those moments of like doubling down, and you're like, no, you know, you can look at it this way. But then it gets to a point where you realize like, I need to be quiet because we're two different people who are going to experience life way completely different. And so it's like, I might be right based off of what happened. Like, you know, if I'm talking about, you know, my path or my journey or whatever, but that doesn't mean that because my journey is valid means that her argument is completely invalid, because I'm like, oh, you just have to look at it how I see it, you know? Because it's like, we're never going to experience life the same way. So
no, and that's with, you know, with everything. Like my roommate, she's Latina, so even though we're both women, she has a different experience. And even though we're both immigrants, we have a different experience. We've had a different and so having to be like, okay, like listen to her, and like her experience here is, you know, growing up here hasn't been great. You just have to be like, okay, well, I'm not, especially for me, I'm not from this country, so when people are saying stuff, I have to be like, I have no idea. I would never.
It's like, Livia, what? Well, that's like for me when I first moved here. And sorry, I feel like I'm jumping all over the place.
This is great to jump to that because we need to hit about how we know that you're from Ireland.
Well, this kind of segues because I remember, like, because, you know, just how you're saying, you know, there's things here that people can talk about that you don't fully understand, or that, you know, maybe at first didn't fully connect with. And I remember when I first moved to America, like, talking about police brutality or race, you know, which is crazy because that's now it's like kind of something I always talk about. People would say, you know, like, this, like, I got arrested, or like, this person's be acting this way because I'm Black. And I'd be like, I don't agree, or not necessarily saying I don't agree, but just not being able to see that, or not being able to put myself in that position where I'm like, oh, I'm being treated this way because of my skin or whatever, or just having like this strong view on like police brutality. And even like last year when the whole, you know, when the rise, like after the George Floyd case happened, the murder happened, I remember like a lot of my white friends here would be like telling me like, you know, oh, like, you know, this is crazy. And they'd be talking to me about it, but then they'd be like, you know, obviously I won't understand it as much as you. And for me, I was like, you're American. Like, you're from here. This is more of your, like, this is really your American issue first before it's me. Like, so you should, like, I'm surprised that I know more about it than you, like, just because I'm Black, but like, you've been here longer. You, like, this is really rooted in your history. So I'm from Ireland. Like, you know, I was like, we don't have there's no BLM marches out there, like, at the time. So it'd be interesting, you know, that was kind of like a culture shock. And it's funny, just like, it would just always hit me whenever people would be like, you know, I'll never get this as much as you, but I'm like, you're the American.
And so you moved here when you were 12.
Yeah. I was 12 years old.
What was your experiences like in Ireland? Do you remember much?
Yeah, man. Ireland is like, that's like home for me, a home that I've never returned to since I was 12. I remember I wanted to go back before COVID, and then, you know, COVID, we all had plans. Yeah. But I was there from when I was 3 years old until I was 12. So 9 years is really like a formative part of life. And that's why it's even crazy, like, having this conversation. I remember, like, when we met, I feel like nobody understood, like, nobody else got it. Like, I remember you were telling everyone, like, he grew up to this way. And everyone was like, cool. And we're just like, don't tell.
Still, people don't give me enough, like, when I tell them that situation, I'll be like, so I was talking to daddy, not my dad, but daddy, and he said he was from Ireland, and I said, I'm from Ireland, and he said Dublin, and I said Kildare, and then he said Lucan, and I said Leixlip, and then they just look at me, and I'm like, that's 5 minutes away from each other, and they're like, yeah. Okay. I'm like, this is amazing. We're in America. Americans just, you know, they're, right? Just, they're never, like, amazed.
Dude, it doesn't make sense. I remember, like, a few months ago, I think it was maybe in March, I went out to get food with, like, two friends. Like, I hadn't seen them since before, you know, since the height of the pandemic. And so we were like, okay, let's go get some food. Maybe April, we had gotten back then. But we were like, let's get food. And so we're sitting at this restaurant, and the guy and one of my friends is like, he's asking us about, you know, me and my brother, about, like, growing up in Ireland. And he's like, can you still, like, do you ever think, because we used to have, like, thick accents when we moved here, And so he was like, do you ever like think in the Irish accent or whatever? And I was like, not really, not unless I'm forcing it, you know? And then he was like, do you still use like any of the Irish slang or anything? And then we were like, it wouldn't make sense me using it with you. Like if I'm talking to an Irish person, like there's probably things that like I can throw out, like, you know, that really fit. But like, I was like, you're just not going to get it. Or it's like, it's not going to be as fun, you know? Like, I can't say like I'm doing it for the crack of it or whatever, you know? Yeah. Like, especially with the American accent, it's not as interesting, you know, for the crack of it, you know? So, and then we started saying something. Or my brother was like, ah, Scarlett for you. And then there was a guy at a table next to us, and he goes, he was from Ireland, and he just chimes in, like, he's like, did you just say? And we go on, I'm like, we start, like, we disregarded my friends for, like, 30, 40 minutes. We're just, like, going on, like, you know, really connecting. And so, I don't know, anytime me and my brother just get around Irish people or hear the accent or anything, it's just, like, just joy pops out. So that's why, like, we met. I was just like, why aren't y'all freaking out?
Yeah, no, it is great. And so how did you feel moving from Ireland when you were 12, and obviously you've lost the accent, to where in America did you move?
I lived in Georgia. I lived in Atlanta. Well, not specifically. Atlanta's easier to say. I lived in Marietta, Georgia. First I lived in this place called Lithonia near Decatur. And so that was like an all black area. That was my first time living around black people, you know. I went from Ireland. I mean, like, Ireland was like, when I first got there, it was like super white. Like, Lucan was like super white. My brother was like the first black kid in his school and everything. And then by the time we left, it was super diverse. Like, there was Indians, Pakistanis, like, just Vietnamese, everything, Nigerians. And but
it did get very diverse, even in mine.
Yeah,
like, and I always say that to people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because people are always like, what was the black guy doing? And I'm like, there's black people now. But I remember, like, me and my brother always look up like our elementary school, our primary school in Ireland. And like, as the years go on, like, the diversity is getting crazier. Like, I think even like white kids are like the minority in the school and stuff. So it's diverse. And so But like, moving to Georgia was like literally just like black people. Like, there was no white kids in my school, maybe like one or two in like each grade or something. And it was cool, because I remember, like, my brother and I, we were always just like obsessed with like America. I mean, we lived in Ireland, like, when we were there, like, it was like, now it's probably not so cool to say you're American, but like in the 90s, like, if I remember any kid who came to school and was like, I'm from America, even if they weren't, kids would lie and like put on American accents. Everyone's like, oh my God, you're the coolest kid ever. So when we moved here, we were just like, we want to be American. We want to be like black Americans. We're like excited. And so we like faked American accents. And I remember, like, people just thought we were like Jamaican or something, because like the Irish accent and the American accent didn't make sense. And like, but then I remember, like, the more I got around Jamaicans, I was like, I see, like, we don't pronounce the THs, like, we say tree and ting and stuff. And like, yeah, you know, there's some links. And so people, and when we would say we're from Ireland, people thought we were saying island. They were like, oh, which island? I'm like, no, Ireland. And so that was just interesting. But then after like a year or two, we moved to like a more diverse area too. So it was like being around like white people. But then that's where that's where I saw Mexicans for the first time. And I remember, like, it's interesting. Like, I'll tell people, like, we don't have Mexicans in Ireland. like, they're like, you got Spanish people, you know, like, you got people from Spain, but like, I had never met a Mexican, you know? And so I was just like, whoa, this is different. And
it is. You are right, because I was thinking about this the other day, and I was like, every town has a Chinese restaurant, an Indian restaurant, and an Italian restaurant. And my favorite food over here is Mexican. I just realized, I don't think I've ever been to a Mexican restaurant in Ireland. And there's so many Irish people in Mexico. Yeah. Like, full of Irish people. Yeah, because there's a great relationship between Mexico and Ireland, because this is a long time ago. There was some war, and you know the Irish. Yeah. They're like, we go help anyone. We love fighting.
Yeah.
They went over, they helped the Mexicans. Wow. And then they were like, stay. And so there's now that kind of, there's a big, there's like an Irish flag or statue, and they love Irish people when they come over. So there's a lot of Irish people who live there, or they're Irish Mexican from like generations future. Yeah.
Generations past.
Also, I had the same experience as you, but not with Mexican people. But when I moved over, when I moved over here, my first boyfriend was black, and people would always be like, oh my God, is like this the first time you've ever dated a black man or met a black black person? And I'd be like, no, that's like this. Yeah. I grew up, and I actually, and even specifically,
you're
me.
Like, no, I grew up in Ireland.
Like, what are you talking
about? What does that mean?
I'm like, it's actually so diverse. And I grew up outside Dublin, and then my mother used to work. In this, it was like she was a security guard in this place where a lot of immigrants would live for a while before they got a house. So I grew up with a lot of Nigerian children. I would just like play when I was there. So I was like, no, but then I saw a Jewish person, and it was like a Amish, or I thought they were Amish people. What is it?
The Hasidic Jews.
For months when I would go through Williamsburg, I honestly thought, Amish people must have moved to New York. Oh, no worries. Oh, no.
I don't know. Can you see me? Hold on. Sorry. I don't know.
It's okay, but I can hear you.
Okay. You can continue. I'm listening.
But that was it. Really, like, I just, I never even heard of Hasidic Jewish religion before. And then my best friend, she's Jewish. And I met her, she's been my friend for like 6 years. But I never met a Jewish person that I knew was Jewish in Ireland. So,
yeah.
It is interesting how they're like, oh, you know, they're thinking it's like, and it's like, no, there's people with different religions I never met.
I remember my brother, he said the same thing. Like when we were in Georgia, I remember he was telling the girl, like, you're the first Jewish person I have ever met in my life. And like, I think for her, it was just like, huh? Like, it was kind of odd. And I think like, I don't know. I get when people act like that, because I've been like the first black person that some people had ever met. Yes. And for me, like in your head, you're just like, what do you mean you've never met another person? But it's like, there's certain spaces where you will just never, like, I will never meet a Jewish person here, you know? Like, especially Ireland, I'm like, this is like Catholicism, you know? I'm not gonna be, it's different. So, yeah.
Especially
Jews and Mexicans were like new for me.
And how did you feel then if you were so, because when you said you and your brother were in Ireland and you were the first black kids for a little while, how did that feel? Did you feel like?
I think for my brother, he experienced it a lot more because like when we were, because I was 3 years old when we first moved. So like for the first year or two, and I don't think I started speaking late. Like I didn't start speaking until I was like maybe four. And so I think so. I don't know baby stuff, but it was late. I think four.
And now it's your job.
Yeah. And I still can't really figure it out. But I remember he like dealt with it a lot. Like he would go to school and like, you know, he'd get called the N-word or like blackie or whatever. And like he would, you know, come home, tell my mom and stuff. But my mom's like super tough. Like she'd be down there like, mom, you call me black. She's like, man, you're black. What you wanted to call you?
Okay, your mother's an Irish. Your mother's Irish.
Yeah. My mom my family loves Irish people. Like they feel so connected. And like my mom's just the kind of person who's like, she's not gonna let you feel bad about yourself. Like if you feel like she's like, okay, like you go cry about it or you go like, you know, like strengthen up or whatever. And just like not.
That's like Irish parenting though. That's the same as my dad. Yeah. He'd be like, I remember I told him a kid called me five head and he put his fingers on his forehead and went, well, you don't have a forehead. So what do you like? And I was like, okay.
Yeah. It's like, there's a certain kind of tough love and humor that's like just native to Ireland. But also, like, my parents, like, because they met in Egypt, and that's where me and my brother were born. And my dad always says, like, Egyptians have, like, a very specific kind of humor. And there's links. I see a similarity between, like, Egyptians and, like, Irish in regard to, like, just that humor that's, like, it's just, like, tough humor, you know? Like, yeah. Like I'm gonna make fun of my loved ones in a very crazy way. But it's, like, we're all gonna laugh about it, you know? That's why I would say it's home. I want to go back someday. When was the last time you've been back?
I was back.
And you were telling me.
Well, yeah, I was back last August because I was lucky enough to get my green card. As soon as I got my green card, I was like, bye, I'm going back. And so then when you moved over here, did you feel you had to lose the Irish accent? This is so funny to me. Because now yeah, it'd be really hot if you were like, if you, like, they love Irish accents. Like people always are like to me, say tree.
Yeah.
It's annoying, but if it's a hot guy, I'll be like, tree in the garden. Turkey tree. 300 turkey tree.
There's tree trees over there. I think like I said, you know, like my brother and I, we were just like obsessed with the idea of being American, that we were just like, I want, like, just take away the Irish. We just want the American side. And then eventually, like, the accent just went away. But I feel like it's still, like, I'll slip up a lot of times where, like, I'll say, you know, it'll come out, like, in certain words. And, like, my girlfriend, because she's been around me for so long, like, she picks up, like, oh, you said that weird. Oh, you said, I heard it there. Or like when I'm with my brother, especially when we're laughing. Like when I listen to the podcast and I'm editing, I'm like, that's funny. So, but it's very subtle. And, but I remember like, as I got older, there were times where I'd be like, damn, why did I change? Why did I get rid of the accent? Like it was, you know, because part of it, I say, like, you know, we wanted to be American and we thought it was cool, but then it's also, there's a part of it that's maybe subconsciously, like, you want to fit in and this and that, and you're embarrassed about the accent, especially being, like, the one Black kid with the Irish accent because we lived in, like, a very hood area when we first moved to Atlanta, and so it was, like, you gonna be that guy?
This should be your movie. This would be such a great movie.
Well, there's a script that I've written about, like, me and my brother, just, like, it's kind of, like, super bad, but about, like, two Black kids moving from Ireland to America on their first day in school. And that's something that I'm always, because people are always like, that's your movie. And I'm like, I feel like it's so close to home that for me, it's like, it's so normal that I don't even think about it as a movie. And I'm just like, that's just life. But then I'm like, but I think it's something that it's like, it's not something that maybe I just don't feel the need to write now, but I'm like, but I know at some point there's going to be a day where I'm just like dying to really tell this story. And I think it's just like having the perspective on it, you know, in time. Yeah.
But, I think it'd be a great story because my ex-boyfriend who is Irish, he's Black, and when we would go out, like, or if we were just talking to people in my bar, we used to work together, and they'd say, oh, where are you from? And I'd say Ireland, and they would ask him, and then he would say Ireland, they go, no, really, and he'd be like, Ireland. And I this thing, like, anything that shows that it's not just white people in Ireland, like, educate people a bit.
It's like, we need to see it.
No, you go ahead.
I was gonna say, did you ever, oh man, that's why I love that you're, have you seen, there's this movie called Sing Street?
I did. It's so good.
You see, okay. There's one Black kid in the movie. Remember when I saw that, I was like, I was so happy. And like, already just when that movie came out, I remember I saw it like so many times in theaters, and I was telling all my friends, like, you gotta go see this Irish movie that takes place in the 80s. And so I was like, when are we gonna get this again? But seeing, you know, that, like, that they showed that aspect, I was like, that's cool, because that is a story that, you know, that's a narrative that a lot of people don't know about, you know, it exists.
And, like, you know, there's so much the way they paint Ireland, so never mind, they paint Ireland as all white, which is, like, offensive. And, like, even in BLM, which I thought was great, when you would see in the newspaper in Ireland, is the people who came out as well in solidarity for America. Yeah. And you can see that it's not, even just looking at the crowds, you can see that it's not just white. So it annoys me. So you're like, and it really, and it's like, oh, it just, it's just annoying. And then it's like, also that they paint us as like alcoholics and leprechauns, beat their wives. And it's like, it's just stop. Or like top of the morning to you. Like, I'm like, we don't, we're in a movie 70 years ago and they won't drop it.
Like we, I never say top of the, I don't say it.
No, it's top like, of the morning. Well, yeah, so, and it'd be funnier if they depicted Irish people in their movies the way we really are. But like, I think movies just portraying Ireland the way it really is would be great. Like, and especially,
The idea that people have of it is so, so stereotypical.
Well, because so I hate when Americans are as well say that, because they have said it a lot to me as well. Like, oh, this is the first time you met people. And it's just like, that's just dumb. Also, you just whatever. Two of our most famous musicians, but I guess they probably don't know about Samantha Mumba over here, do they?
Oh, you know about Samantha.
But not even Samantha. Phil Lynott.
Yeah. Samantha Mumba, I remember she did that movie. She did an American movie. It was called like the Time Machine.
Time Machine, yes.
Yeah. I was so scared. I remember seeing it in the theaters and stuff. I like hid under a blanket.
I love Samantha. Yeah. She's my favorite musician. I still know her songs.
Oh man. And she had her brother made music too. It was like his name was like Omero or something.
Yeah.
Man. That's funny. I remember my brother, he went to, I don't know if you knew of Billy Barry Stage School in Ireland, because they went to Billy Barry. And so my brother went to Billy Barry he was all upset. Yeah, he got me into that whole Samantha Mumba
and
world. Oh man, this is beautiful.
But they like the in fairness, Americans might not know her music, but I would definitely know from the movie, but she probably had an American accent in it. So that's probably why.
Yeah, but then I remember she dated like Ben. Did Samantha Mumba date, which rapper did she date? Oh, she dated Cisco at one point. Like the thong song Cisco.
See? And then
so they better know her.
Yeah, for fuck's sake. You guys have to know. I love Samantha.
Put some respect.
Yeah, she's just so great. And then what about, because Phil Lynott, he's from Tin Lizzy. So everybody knows Tin Lizzy. Yeah. And then they're like.
Yeah. I remember like a bunch. Yeah.
No, it's like you have to know that there's not just white people in Ireland.
I've had like Americans tell me. But I feel like whenever like Americans have told, like mentioned him, it's usually like older Americans. It's never like, I feel it's always been like 40, 50 year old or above who like, they're like, oh, he was a Black Irish guy. And I'm like. Yeah, I'm glad you know, but you know, but yeah, you know what? But like, I mean, now it's like I feel like now I'm starting to find like a lot of I feel like I'm starting to see more people know about like the Irish rap scene that's going on. Like I know people like mentioning like Hair Squad or like Reggie Snow and stuff, like all these, you know, new artists from Ireland. And so I'll be at, and I know these guys from like my childhood, and like they weren't making music when we were kids. So, you know, I even found out like, you know, close friends, I'm like, oh, you have a music career? Like, you know, and cause I remember when I first found out that one of my friends did music, I went to this show in New York a few years ago, and it was this rapper named Kyle or something. And so just an American dude from California. And I met these girls at the show, and we talked about Ireland, and they were like, oh, do you know this? Do you know Hair Squad? And then I was like, do I? I don't know. And then I look them up, and I'm like, that's my friend. And I'm like, I hit him up like, you make music now? Like, so there's just so many people that like we've reconnected with it. We're just like, oh, that's cool. Like there's a scene now. Cause my brother makes music. And when we were living in Ireland, there wasn't really like a rap scene. Like I remember he would be on like the Late Late Toy Show. Like he was on on the radio and stuff. And like, so it was like, he was like the only rapper that we knew of. And like, he was popular in the city, but then we were like, that's about it. I don't know. But then now it's like, it's really a thing. And even like, you know, you're starting to see Americans know about it. Like even the guy that I said the one that I just mentioned from his group Hair Squad, like, he was on, their group was on Goldlink's album. Like, he remixed one of their songs and stuff. And there's so many times where I'm in stores and I hear his song and I'm like, hey, I'm at a store right now and somebody's playing your song. Oh my God, this person just told me they like your music. So I think it's starting to happen. And yeah. It's cool to see that, you know?
Yeah, and I guess, like, as well with the internet and everything, it's able, or like globalization or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's able to, like, connect people more.
Yeah. But there's still people that get shocked because it's like, I'll be on TikTok. I remember I was on TikTok and there was like this Irish, there was this black girl from Ireland who posted a video. Like, she was like, yeah, my name's Aoife. And, like, you know, I'm from Ireland. And, like, she had the accent and everything. And people were like, why are you faking this accent? Like, what is, like, blah, 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 like, you're not from, like, you just say you're from California, you're from Atlanta or something. And I remember, like, I was like, yes, we exist.
Yeah, and, you're like riding under all the million comments.
Yeah.
But, like, and the video's just...
It's
crazy though. I love people telling me because my accent isn't like diddly eyed or like you're not from Ireland.
Yeah.
And these motherfuckers will never have been to Ireland either. Let me just have like, a.
How are you going to tell me?
The confidence. I have people come up because I used to work daytime in the bar. And so people would come in and they'd say, oh, well, your accent's not very strong. You must have been here since you were a kid. And I was like, no, I just lived outside the city. This has always been my accent. And then I always think, oh, they must have been to like Cork or Galway. I'm like, where in Ireland did you go? And they're like, oh, I've never been to Ireland. And I'm like, how can you make this statement? I would never say something about Alabama. I've never been to Alabama.
It makes no sense. It's like, it's just that dumb confidence. I don't get it. I don't get
it's
how
amazing,
you're so
though. Sure. You're like, wow, you that just came out of your mouth and you're like, you're okay
you
with it.
You showed me.
Jesus.
It's not even like I posted a video on like TikTok that like went viral and like because I mentioned that I lived in Ireland and stuff and moved to Atlanta and like and then like I remember people like all the comments are just like accent reveal. I want to hear it because I didn't speak in the video. It was just like music and caption. So everyone's like, we need to hear the accent, prove it, blah, blah, blah. So people would just come on whenever I'm live or like on my other videos and they'd be like, oh, he's lying. He just sounds like an American, which I can understand. I can understand if like someone sees my, like, because I feel like in general, like if I didn't tell people, you know, I'm not from America, they would just think I'm from here. You know, most times people are like, oh, you're from New York or something. And I'm like, no. But so I get that. But now when someone literally has the accent,
like,
like
you know,
in your situation.
Do you know, Riley Lassen?
No.
She's a funny comedian, but she's just always sending me TikToks of like hot black lads in Ireland. And she's like, the accent. And they're like, they're like the hottest lads in the world as well. And she's like, I need to go to Ireland, Katie.
They're all, out
all these
there.
TikToks. There's these four. I think they're lads from Dublin, but they just put up these TikToks without their shirts on and just talking and like fucking the girls are going wild.
Yeah. They found their niche.
I'm gonna have to listen to you said Hair Squad, is that?
Yeah.
I've never heard because
it's spelled weird. It's like H-A-R-E S-Q U E A D. It's like square.
Oh,
head.
It's like the animal hair.
I don't even know, man. I think they said like it's a play on like square head, but I'm just like, I'm gonna text it to you right now, but
okay, great.
Their popular song is called Her Side Story, but just go. It's they're crazy, they're dope. It's crazy though, they like because like they kind of came up pretty quick, and there used to be three of them, and then one of the dudes he left because like he just had anxiety. Like he had to leave the group because fame was just like too much. Like he had a mental breakdown. And so I was like, that's wild. Like that's, and especially like you know, that just shows like how popular they were getting, like just even beyond Ireland. Like, cause they were touring they went on tour with like Aminé and stuff. And like, it's cool.
It's great. Yeah. I remember one of my friends, I thought he was going to be a famous rapper. Mm-hmm. And he would always rap to us. And he had an American accent, but I think... So we always thought he was from America, but I think he actually... But then years later, we found out he wasn't from America.
have so many friends like that.
Just, he was just watching like the rap videos, and he had like a special name and stuff, and he was like, I'm gonna be a rapper, and we'd all be like, rap this about us, and it was so much fun. But he ended up like having a family and just like settling down. I looked him up recently because I was like, I wonder if he ever, and then he just like was just on Facebook with like his kids, and I was like, oh, kids? I have no kids. But
I mean, being a creative is a lot. I feel like there's I know so many people who I'm like, wow, like you could have been the next thing, like whether it's like, you know, people who do stand up or film or music or whatever, like, but it's just it's work. It's a lot. Like I couldn't imagine if I had like a family right now. Like that would be woo.
Also as well, if you're happy.
It's a job.
But like, I mean, if you're like, you have to like love what we do because we're giving up all of our daytime, really, to podcasts and creating, and then all of our nighttime to doing shows. And like, I think it struggles in relationships and stuff. So you really have to, it has to be like a disease, like you're obsessed with it.
Yeah. And I mean, it's possible. Like, I mean, there's a lot of people who've made it work, but it's like, it's you really gotta work because you know I remember like because for me like I took a break from stand-up for a while like because I started in like 2014 2015 I think 2014, and I did it until like 2016, and then I took a break. Then, you know, from 2016 to 2018 I would like kind of be on and off, so it was like performing every, you know, once in a while. And then it got to a point where I just stopped completely. I think there was just, I just had no motivation, no excitement. Like I would go to shows or mics and like, just didn't care. Like,
and do you do shows now at all?
Now?
Yeah.
Well, in 2019 was when like, I don't know, I was just randomly out of nowhere. I think I was in California, like doing I was directing like a music video or something. And I was just like, I need to get on stage. I have things I need to say. And just like out of nowhere, because I was, I think for a long time, like it was kind of like I was depressed about it. Like I was really like fucked up in the head because I was like, I always loved comedy. I was like, it was the thing I always wanted to do and stuff. And so I was just like, what does this mean? Like, am I not, what? And so, and then out of nowhere, it just hit me. And so I just like got back on stage. And so like 2019 to like top of 2020, you know, pre-COVID was like, really getting back into it, and then COVID. And then now, you know, in the last few weeks I've just been like getting back to performing again, like consistently, and I'm loving it, but I'm also being reminded of like, you know, oh, this is like, you know, like all your nights, like, you know, and but which I love, like I'm just like out every week, just like every night, like different shows all the time, meeting you, meeting different people. And it's dope, but I can understand for like, if you're in a relationship with someone who's probably not a creative or something, it might be very, very tough. Like my girlfriend DJs, so she gets it, you know?
Great.
Like
it's,
we're good. But like, if you're just like in a regular relationship and like, that could be tough.
Like my guy now, he's a comedian, which is the first time I've ever been in a relationship with a comedian, but it is so much easier because it's like, and like, he's like not what I ever would have thought I would have dated. He's not my type at all. And I've known him for so long. And then it's just like, one day I was like, I guess I fancy him. Ooh, you don't know where that, I don't know where that came out of. We had like a dinner date set up, and I got booked to host a show. And then I was literally running like 40 minutes late, but he was like, it's fine. No, he's like, don't stress. Yeah. Or we had another date planned, and then he got booked for a show, and I was like, oh, we'll just do it in between. So like, it's like, oh, it's so much easier because you don't feel that guilt because the other person is like, comedy comes first.
Exactly. Like you really understand, like this is like another relationship.
Yeah, I'm your side bitch.
I've accepted that I'm your side bitch. Like that's it. So it's cool when you can find that like support, because it's a. It's a lot. It you know, if you don't know what you're getting yourself into, it can be like a big sacrifice. It is
because you're not going to brunch with them with their friends.
That's
you're
exactly
not able to go to dinner with your friends. There's a lot of events you miss because you're like, gotta go play for four people. And sometimes it's big.
Why are you doing this?
Well, come here to me. I better let you go. But so your podcast is, and I can't say this word, even though I am it, Caucasian, because I never had to fucking say it until I moved over here. There was like a box on the form, there's no box for white. And they were like, white, Caucasian.
Yeah, which is, I mean, people always say like Caucasian isn't even really, it's not like the Caucasus Mountains, it's not even really white people. Like it's not really politically correct. So even for me, using that is even just another way of making fun of that, that we say Caucasian. But my podcast is Caucasian Tears. I release it every Monday, but I've been slacking lately. I interview minorities about a time in history, whether it's pop culture, you know, true history or a personal moment in life where you or minorities gained some kind of achievement and white people were pissed off. So we just laugh about that. And it's dope. I interview comedians. It's dope. Hey, we should, maybe I'll bring you on some point if you down for it.
I'll talk about Irish people.
I've had one white person on the show so far, and that was dope. I like getting different perspectives too. It's interesting, but yeah.
And so your Instagram is Director Daddy?
My Instagram is Director Daddy. My TikTok is Director Daddy. My Twitter is Director Daddy. My birth name is Daddy. I did not explain that.
This has been so much fun, Daddy.
I love the change when I don't have to explain it, but then I'm always like, oh yeah, for everyone else, you know, my birth name is Daddy. Katie's not just saying Daddy just because. Respecting your boyfriend.
I don't call him Daddy, okay? Yeah. He doesn't have daddy confidence, okay? He's like, I don't know.
Yeah, like,
not a daddy.
Say my name. But yeah. And also, I'm currently crowdfunding for a film that I'm making called Super Nigga. It's called Super Nigga. It's a blaxploitation and superhero romantic comedy told from the perspective of a black Lois Lane type character. I'm crowdfunding for it this month because we're going to shoot it next month. So check it out on my Instagram or just go to Kickstarter and search Super Nigga. If you're not black, you can call it Superman of Color. that's the cringe name. But yeah.
That's great. Okay, I'm going to let you go. Thank you. I'm literally sweating through this shirt. My tits are sweating.
I'm a mess. Like, my shirt is just soaked and dreadful.
It's too hot and it's going to be. Okay, thank you so much. You're the best. This will come out next week.
Dope. Thank you, Katie.
Thank you so much for listening. I hope you all enjoyed the episode. And please go follow Daddy at Director Daddy. And go to the Patreon as well if you don't mind. That'd be great. There'll be solo episodes up there. Next week's episode will probably be up there tonight or tomorrow. And all the videos are there as well. So yeah, so Patreon for it's Shift Podcast. And also if you could rate review, that'd be great. Obviously positive reviews would be great. And just have a lovely week. And don't forget to email me or DM me if you've any guests you want on or any topics you want covered. And my friend who's a stripper is going to come on hopefully on Wednesday. And I already interviewed another guy that I know and he does OnlyFans. So yeah, if there's anybody else you want to get on and have chats with, let me know. If you have any problems you want discussed or topics or any advice you need. But yeah, other than that, links are all below, and have a great week, and I'll talk to you next week.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.